I'm scared of not knowing where to go from there. Like, if I finally do get to where I want, and I just don't know where to go from a certain point.
Yeah, so do you think that some people, you know, who, you know, way on the other extreme, who are just going to, like, all of these events, do you think that, like, a part of their personality becomes attached to the school? Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Camden High School Podcast. It is your host, Carter, with my good friend, Quentin, here. And today, we're going to be going into a subject area that, you know, many of you guys may not be familiar with. You may not be familiar with, you know, anime or furries and other stuff. But there's so much more to this area than a lot of people realize. So, my good friend, Quentin, is going to be leading us on a sort of investigation into, you know, what really matters about school and life. So, Quentin, why don't you just unmute your mic, and let's get straight into it.
All right.
Yeah, so, like, if you could encapsulate yourself, like, you know, who you are as a person, what would it be? You know, who are you? Kind of deep starting off, I know.
Midlife crisis already. I get the towels from sweating. I would guess, I mean, the best way to describe me, I think, is just weird but motivated.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know, I definitely have goals and things I want to do, but I very much have, like, this weird energy, I think a lot of people who know me would say, just because of how I present myself in most situations.
Okay, so, like, what makes you think, like, it's, like, a weird thing? Because is it just, like, you know, how other people respond, or, like, do you feel, like, in yourself, like, you know, I'm weird, I'm...
That's a good point. Actually, I think it's mostly based off of what people say, because to me, it's just like, it's just like, you know, how I live, like how I do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like most, sorry, keep going.
No, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, no, it's just that I was just going to say, like, you know, most people don't wake up and say, like, you know, I'm weird, but, like, yeah.
No. I think it's good, though. I think being weird isn't, like, a bad thing. Like, I think a lot of people will be like, oh, that kid's, like, really weird. And, like, I'll be honest, I, you know, there's some people who I'm like, that's a little interesting. I like to say interesting more. I don't know. But, like, no, yeah, I definitely do consider myself just to be weird. And I think that's just because of mostly what other people, I think, would think about me. But I think it's also just because I think being weird is just, it's not, because I'm not a normie.
I'm not a loser, you know. I'm not like a not a conformer.
I'm not a boomer.
I'm not a boomer.
weird and motivated.
Okay, yeah. So, what's your opinion of school and of life in general? Would you say
school? The big S.
Yeah, I feel like so many people have, like, differing opinions of school that, like, it's just insane. Like, what do you?
No,
think?
Yeah. So I've actually been thinking about this a lot recently as this started to back up, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely would have to say that I feel like I do like learning. I think learning is good. I think everyone should take opportunities to learn, you know? I don't think anyone should be disinterested in learning, because I think when you learn, it's just better for you to, like, grow your mind.
Okay.
And so I like that aspect. I don't think waking up really early in the morning, getting down to the building, and then being exhausted through the whole day is really the way to do it. Also taking classes that, when some kids already kind of have the idea, what they know, what they want to do, and putting them into situations isn't really the right way to go.
Do you know what you want to do?
Yeah. To an extent. I want to... The ideal, the creme de la crop, you know, it's, I would love to make stories and then, sell them to people, like, you know, mangas or comics and stuff. And I want people to love the characters that, I create. I think that'd be really cool. Make a living off of it.
That's amazing. Like, being a creator, like, you know, giving other people joy. I think that's one of the greatest things that anybody can do, honestly. So do you feel like school, like, wastes your time on the way to that, you know?
See, I used to think like that a lot. But then even when I had time, at least as of now, I haven't still been, like, as pursuing of stuff, like practicing as much. And I feel like that's something I need to personally work on. Like, just being like, hey, I have time. I need to work on this. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I can't blame school anymore. I think when I was younger, I think a lot of kids do also. They blame school. But the thing is, you still have time. Like, after school. Like, unless you're like, you know, there's some kids that be like, oh, yeah, I have soccer. I do baseball, soccer, like, clubs. And I'm like, whoa, it's probably mostly just me who has all this extra time.
Yeah, I feel like people, like, you know, no matter what your schedule is, people will always come up with an excuse not to pursue their dreams, to do other stuff.
Yeah, I think it's mainly comes down to, at least for me, I think I'm scared of not knowing where to go from there. Like, if I finally do get to where I want, and I just don't know where to go from a certain point.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening.
Yeah, like, right now for me, it's just like, oh, I gotta practice, you know, because practicing is perfect. That's a good motto to live by. But then it's like, okay, so then I have to figure out how to get into the industry, how to publish my stuff, how to make a profit. I would probably have to have a job before then and not hopefully get stuck there. And then, like, it's this whole thing.
Okay. So, again, you're really into art. And one thing that I'm really interested in is like, you know, typically you hear that, you know, art kids, right? It's like a specific, you know, subgroup of school culture. Like, how would you describe art kids in general? Like, what do you think is different about them? What do you think makes them different? And do you think they're different at all? Maybe you think they're completely the same and that's completely fine. What do you think?
As of being in a lot of art classes and taking a lot of those, there's definitely, like, kids who, I think our kids really like to express themselves a lot. I think a lot of other kids do too, but I feel like our kids are very much like,
in tune with themselves, maybe?
A little bit, but also they're a little more like, I know who I am a little bit. It's also because, like, I don't know, they do a lot more, I would say, experimenting with themselves, being as, like, figuring out, oh, this is what I like, and this is how I want to dress, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I guess, a stereotype that a lot of art kids like to change the hair color a lot.
Sure, yeah.
And, like, if you go to, like, an art college, it, like, if you don't have, you know, some type of crazy rainbow hair, and then you're going to stand out. But it's just really interesting, because there definitely is, like, I don't want to say, like, particular types of people, but I think, you know what I mean? It's definitely, like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
If you see someone, you know, like, they probably dabble in art, or, like, I talk to people, and just from their body language, tone of voice, I'm really good with even though I'm very much a I don't want to say recluse because that would make me sound bad, but I'm kind of a introvert.
Yeah,
so but, like, the thing is, I'm also really good at social interactions, so I like presenting and putting on a show, so I can kind of tell other people how they are really quick.
That's such an interesting mix, like, you know, being really good at social interactions yet being, you know, keeping to yourself. Like, that's, you don't see that too often.
I don't know. Like, it's really funny. I don't know what it is. I just have a weird drive for that.
Huh.
Like, presenting, I love presenting. A lot of other kids would be like, oh, I don't, some of the art kids would be like, I don't like presenting. They don't mind doing the work most of the time. Well, I think a lot of people actually don't mind doing the work, but then it's like, presenting, I don't want to present.
Yeah.
I don't walk up with a script. I just wing it. I'm like, I'll know the material, and I'll walk up and just make jokes and funny gags.
Huh. That's really interesting. And so, you know, one thing I'm interested in is, like, what do you think about, like, big social events, like, you know, football games, like dances? Ooh. Like, what do you think about those? Do you just, like, avoid those, or, like, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of the avoid, but it's not, like, because I'm scared of them or something. I mean, maybe a little bit. True anecdote here.
Okay.
I was hanging out, you know, when Camden was showing their, like, you know, their clubs and, like, activities.
Yeah.
And this is a while ago. But I ended up going, and I had, like, my first, like, social panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have really bad anxiety, and that was my first social panic attack, and I wasn't really sure how to deal with it, so I just left. But most of the time it doesn't happen. I don't really go to the football things in the dances. I don't go to the football things mainly because of the fact that I don't know. I'm not a big, like, school spirit guy, you know. And no one's really gonna hear me going, "Ooh, Cam," you know what I mean? I'm not gonna, like, wear the shirts and stuff most of the time. And that's just because I don't know. I feel like if I make a whole entire part of my personality about school. I don't know. I just, because I have a weird connection with school, and I just don't feel like that would be good for me. It would be too conflicting.
Yeah, so do you think that some people, you know, who, you know, way on the other extreme, who are going to, like, all of these events, do you think that, like, a part of their personality becomes attached to the school?
I'll say maybe a little bit. Like, I overheard some conversations today, and I feel like people get really mad at each other, like, for different schools, you know? Here, one side being like, oh, this school said this about us, so we had to beat them in the sports competitions. Like, why are they, why is there beef between schools?
It's like, why does this even matter?
I'm like, it's good that you want to win, but, like, it's, I think it's better to be, like, a friendly competition. Like, hey, you know what? Let's both do our best, and whoever wins, wins. And, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's, like, instead of, like, I get it, because it sucks to lose, and it feels great to win. But, like, you also, you have to understand, like, if you tried your best and you did it, it's like, you know what? I'm glad this side tried their best. Because you hear some crazy stories about, like, school competitions, and I'm like, I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if it's limited to, like, you know, high school. I mean, like, you see in real life people getting super hyped about football. And, like, I remember in Brazil there was an event where they lost the World Cup and people literally died in the streets.
Whoa.
Like, it was bad. And I guess, like, everybody needs something to occupy their minds, right? I mean, I guess.
No, yeah. And, like, it's good to, like, I don't know. Like, and I get it, because I'm into, like, a lot of different things. I just like to, I dabble. I dip my toes in a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Music-wise, I talk with a lot of my friends, and literally we all want to do so much stuff. I would love to also, other than making the stories, I would love to get into, like, game design, fashion, and, like, a lot of it's just expression, but that's just because I think I like being flamboyant. I don't know if flamboyant's the right word to use. I don't know the definition of flamboyant. I think I do.
But you like to express yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about one aspect of you. And you're such a multifaceted person, but let's talk about one aspect. Let's talk about anime. And I think anime is a really cool thing. And a lot of people, I think, listening to this podcast might not have any experience with anime at all. And they come in with a bunch of stereotypes about anime. So, like, why don't you tell me, what is anime to you?
Anime to me is, it's really good. It's really good for me. It's, it has some of my probably favorite shows that have actually, like, impacted me in my life. I think that feels weird to say, but I think a lot of people, if they really think about it, a lot of actually maybe even, like, American shows have impacted them in a way that they may not have realized. But, yeah. Like, can I say examples and stuff?
Yeah, sure. Examples of shows.
Right. So I recently, not too long ago, finished watching Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah.
And that show, if someone's dealing with stuff, I would recommend watching it when you're in a stable mindset, because it starts off like, oh, it's a robot, you know, typical robot fighting show. It goes crazy into, like, breaking down your ego, understanding who you are, being scared of stuff, growing. It's so much. It's, like, ridiculous. And it gets so dark and just has all these different elements. I actually got the art book for the TV series and the movie, so this way I can, like, just see, like, what the writers and artists were thinking while, like, making the designs.
Yeah, and that's, like, one of the most, I've heard about it, and it's one of the most inspired show. Like, so many shows are inspired by Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, actually, you can, I watched an entire, like, video on it, and you can, like, see a difference in, like, TV, Japanese anime, like, that was being shown, and it changes, like, before it was, like, you know, the sports, and you had, like, your typical shonen, like, me, like, Dragon Ball, and, but after Evangelion, there's, like, a whole bunch of different shows that came out, almost because, like, you know, this, like, pushed the boundary, so I think we can try to do that, too, because yeah. I think a lot of people think, oh, like, maybe, like, anime is, like, for kids. Like, almost, like, because in America, we only really have, like, cartoons for, yeah. Like, you know, it's mostly for kids. You don't really see a whole bunch of animations for, like, on TV for, like, you know, people, mature audiences. Don't see it very often. Like, Samurai Jack Season 5, I would say, is probably one of the few.
Oh, that was great.
That was great. I love that.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, they don't get anime because they really don't get the comparison. So, like, they just see, like, you know, Japanese cartoons, and my explanation to them usually is, like, you know, look at, like, your Breaking Bad, like, you know, your Pretty Little Liars, like, your shows like that. So, like, basically, it's essentially that, but in cartoon form in the Japanese culture. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to it that way.
No, yeah. I think that's actually, I think it's a really good way to explain it to people, because I think a lot of people look at it and be like, oh, it's, like, this weird, you know, this different thing. It's almost like, also, like, the manga and stuff. Like, you don't really see a lot of people talking about manga, you know what I mean? Like, anime's at least, like, I would say anime is more mainstream than the actual original, like, manga, which is just, for those who may not know, manga is, like, comic books just basically in Japan.
And it's getting more mainstream fast, the anime, that I think.
No, anime is 100%. Like, so, one of my favorites, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you see people, like, you know, it was originally more of a niche, group in the United States to have, like, you know, people who are fan of JoJo's. And now it's, like, everywhere after Part 5 was released. But a lot of people don't even know there's, like, they might know, but there's, like, the whole manga by Hirohiko Araki, and I have a couple volumes of it. And I'm actually all caught up with it online, because I just love it. I'm trying to buy more of the manga that I like.
Yeah, I've seen the first bits of it, like, I think up to, like, Part 4, and it's an amazing show. Like,
whoa, dude, Part 4 is my favorite.
Yeah, dude, it's sick, man. One thing I wanted to say is that, like, on the internet, I feel like anime, like, if you spend a lot of time on the internet, you're going to come across anime. I feel like it's all over, it's widespread, it's practically mainstream. But when you talk about high school, I feel like there's a good group of people who know about anime, but I feel like the vast majority of people just have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who is on, you know, they initially see it and, like, they might not like it, but just because they don't know a lot about it, what would you say to them, somebody who wants to dip their toes into this whole universe? What would you say to them?
I would just have to say, like, sorry, I think I'm cutting out a little bit.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, good? Okay, sorry. My idea was a little funky.
Okay.
But, I would have to just be like, hey, like, if you're looking for good shows and good entertainment, this is a great way to start, and it would just give you so many more options that could potentially inspire you into, like, different fields, you know?
Yeah.
Either, like, art and or music and just a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, like what you said, like, it, there's more to it than just the entertainment aspect. It brings people into art, you know, music and all that, the same way that film brings people into cinematography and photography and all those other fields. The area of Japanese cartoons or Japanese filmmaking, anime, it brings people into a different field that they would have never experienced before.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, like, a bit of a subject change. Let's talk about a furry, right? Are you a furry? Would you call yourself a furry?
Okay. Cut out for me, sorry, real quick.
Would you call yourself a furry? This is a topic switch.
Okay, topic switch. Gotcha. Just sweating here.
I feel like it's a loaded question, but, like, what would you call it?
I would call it furry. You know, it's what it is.
Okay.
It's generally people who are a fan of anthropomorphic animals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Though I kind of say I am, because it's what it is. But I also sometimes I'm a little hesitant, only because I don't always like associating myself with a group. Because I feel like it takes away more of my individual identity.
Yeah.
There's such a... Like,
keep going, sorry.
Because I feel like once you say, oh, I'm this, then people think of immediately, oh, you know, the stigmas, the other people have done stuff. And it's like, uh-oh, I've just, like, associated myself with these people.
Yeah, and there's so much to you as an individual, and then you just put a label on yourself, it limits who you are. I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm always kind of like, if people ask me, like, I had this one kid ask me, he's like, hey, you a furry? And I'm like, yeah. And but I was like, I guess so. And they were just like, oh, okay, cool. And then, like, just kind of walked away, and I'm like, that's a weird question out of nowhere. But it's definitely one of those things I feel like that has definitely impacted me, especially, like, culture-wise. Because there's, like, a lot of people who I admire, who are furries. A lot of great artists.
Okay.
And they're really, really good. And it's just like one of those things where it's like, if you were to show somebody else, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of like, that's some furry shit right there. Like, I'm not going to, you know, not even get near that. Like, oh, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like when people hear furry, they just think a person is like, oh, I want to have sex with animals. But really, there's a whole, like, community aspect to that. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could expand on that? Like, you know, what more is there to being a furry, liking anthropomorphic animals? How can somebody who's just listening to the podcast and maybe they don't hate furries, but they just have no idea what they are and they want to know more and they just want to cut through all the BS, like all the people saying this and that, and they want to know what it is, what it's about. What can you say to them?
Yeah. Well, what maybe I can say is, you know, it's a group of people. So no matter how much everyone tries to pretend they're all at one goal, everybody's different. You know, you can't, there's going to be people who do things that no one even in the community will be like, hey, like, they'll be like, that's not cool. We don't want you in the community. We don't want to associate with you. Like, there's actually been a lot of crazy stuff going on occasionally that people have actually, like, pretty much excommunicated them. And even though it's crazy, it wasn't just with the furry community, but just, like, nowadays, call-out culture and, like, cancel culture is such a big thing.
Yeah. And
big, I guess, furry stigma, at least in the community, is drama. Drama's a big thing, unfortunately.
Can you expand on cancel culture a bit?
Oh, like in the furry community specifically, or like just as a total?
Oh, in the furry community specifically, I guess.
There's just these things where people like to make false accusations sometimes, and it sometimes makes it harder for the real accusations to actually come out, because maybe someone, like, there's been people who, there's this one guy on YouTube who I used to watch, and he went through quite the controversy, but the thing is, he wasn't actually a fault at all. They were setting him up, and it was like a whole thing. It wasn't just like, oh, we're gonna say this once. It was like a whole premeditated plan to attack this person and destroy their life. And the person, like, I wasn't even sure. I made the mistake of following the bandwagon with everybody else. And after a little while, more stuff came out. It was basically everything was contradicted. Luckily, the guy got his life back, and it wasn't like, you know, everyone was like keeping the same stuff about him. But it's like, it's people like to follow an idea sometimes so quick that they don't even realize they're being tricked and like led into the pen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially in high school, I think. I feel like that's the norm.
I would agree.
And again, I cut you off a little bit, but you were just explaining about the community of furries. Yeah.
One of the cool things, at least that I can say about it also, super quick, is there's a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
Like a crazy amount of
charity. I haven't heard about that. Yeah, tell me about that.
From what I've seen at conventions, they'll have like small things where they'll like raise money for charities. I don't even know how many there are, but there's, of course, you know, there's a lot of animal based charities. So that just works with the theme, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's like charities for like, I'm pretty sure there's been ones for like helping people with cancer or something. There's a lot. And a lot of it's just people walking around. Anthrocon, one of the biggest furry conventions in the United States, maybe even the world. It's in, you know, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It brings a lot of money in for Pittsburgh. Like, it's literally like, basically, if you have a furry convention in your state that's like becomes popular and it becomes really well known, it's going to basically just raise the revenue in the economy for that area for like a period of time.
Huh, it drives economic progress.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, people talk, like, here's the thing. So they'll have like these hotels, you know, like at Anthrocon, which we keep as the example.
Yeah.
They'll be sold out, like literally, like three, like five story, 10-story tall hotels, just all sold out, with like five to like four people sleeping in one hotel room. So not even everyone gets their own room. It's like just groups and groups of people, like thousands of people, spending money, creating a community, and like it's like its own economy inside the community with like art and like creativity, and everyone's really accepting as well, which is crazy because like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as long as, you know, you're not hurting anybody or, you know, doing anything crazy, of course, because, like, that is looked down upon like anyone else would.
Yeah.
But like, if someone's like, oh, I came out as gay, my parents don't accept me, they'll be like, hey, like, is there anything we can do to help you? Like, we'll fund you money to get an apartment for a little bit. And like, there's, it's just a really, giving place.
So what I'm basically gathering from it, it's like, it's essentially like any other, tight-knit community in that, people don't realize the good it does.
No, yeah. And I get it, because, like, you know, there is... it is a little saucy. It's a little saucy sometimes. Best way to put it. And even some people in the community are a little, like... It's actually a big thing, right? Especially right now. There's a lot going on. There's something...
Tell me about it.
And I don't know if it's called controversy, but it's a big debate where poodling, people aren't sure how to feel about it. And poodling is a term where some fursuiters, the people who wear the suits and stuff, they don't have the full suit. So they'll have, like, the head and some paws or whatever, like, some hand paws. So they'll have, like, their arms showing. And some people are like, well, that's breaking the magic. You shouldn't wear it. You shouldn't, like, just do that. You should have the whole thing. Either have the whole thing or nothing, essentially, is what a lot of people are saying. Which is not really that cool, because affording a $5,000 suit costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you're just, like... Like, a lot of people can't afford that. And a lot of people, a lot of popular furries are like, hey, you can poodle, it's whatever. It's mostly just people, I think, who want attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody, and they're just, like, trying to join in on listening. Oh, I don't think it's okay. Just so you can, like, choose a side. It's really kind of crazy. But, like I said before, you know, it's always, like, I don't know how, I went from talking about sauce to, like, just, like, literally, they're not, like, connected. But, like, there's a lot of stuff. There's definitely a lot of it's an interesting group for sauce, especially because, you know what I mean? Like the furry community is strange, has promoted itself as like a family friendly thing, like big fluffy animal mascots, which generally it is a high percentage, but there is, you know, the sauce.
Yeah.
You just gotta make sure not to get lost in the sauce. And the big thing is, a lot of people are like, oh, no one would want to do that. But it's like, of course people would, because like, here's the thing. I forgot where I heard it, but someone said if you're willing to dance in a fursuit, you're willing to probably do other things in a fursuit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And it's almost harmful to just anybody if you, like, make activities, like sexual activities, like look down upon. Like, imagine you just said, oh, like, me and this person I love finally got together and did something, and it's almost like, wow, like, what are you, like, a slut? Like, and it's like, imagine just, like, degrading somebody just for, you know, getting physical with somebody else. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
That does kind of sound like high school.
High school life. But, like, and also, but a lot of people just like to chill out. It's generally just a pretty creative community. Everyone likes to make jokes about a lot of the saucy stuff sometimes, and it's just kind of like, I think a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people get it, but if I'm correct, the OO and the UU, the little things, those were started in the furry community, if I remember correctly. And it's just like a lot nowadays. Like, crazy. And there are, of course, you know, the cringy people who, you know, if doing roleplay and like all that stuff is like fine, but like you want to make sure the other person is like okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to be approached by some personal alliance saying, hi, shakes head nervously back and forth. Tearing up. You want to talk to me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that would just be like, how do I approach this?
Yeah, I feel like that's the stereotype of a furry. Like, when people say, like, oh, you're a furry, they think that person is like that. And it's like, no. I mean, you've expanded upon it so much. Like, I had no idea that they were just involved in all this charity work. I had no idea how involved and deep the culture our community was, and I feel like if people realize this, then it's going to change their perceptions of it.
Yeah, no, it has a lot of stuff. Actually, one of my favorite things that I was really exposed to early, which I love, is the dancing competitions.
Okay,
which they have Anthrocon's the biggest one. You were literally just like Anthrocon dance competition. It's crazy because you have these people in these big suits. Sometimes crazy like dance moves, and it's like really it's really cool. They have a lot of good tracks, you know. They have like raves and stuff. It's just they're actually there's this one place I'm pretty sure in Pittsburgh. If you go to Anthrocon, it's a pizza place, And if you go, you can get a giant pizza. Like, I'm talking huge pizza in the shape of a bone, I'm pretty sure, if they're still around.
Huh.
During just like Anthroconda.
That's sick. So, wrapping it all up, one question that I just have, like, if you think for furry culture or, like, the furry community to finally be, you know, accepted by the mainstream, like, what do you think needs to be explained to people or what do you think needs to be done? I mean...
No one's, like, a sex-crazed maniac or, like, fucking animals, and that's the biggest one, because no one's doing that. I can't say that even, because there are, of course, you know, like, but, like, people, but, like, that's just anybody. There could be someone out of the furry community. It's completely different. People get confused with bestiality, and that's, like, not okay.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's just, I feel like people definitely confuse bestiality with one. It's not that. Trust me, it's not that.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no, I just had to, you know, just clarify. But I think it's that's one main thing. But also just because, like, it just looks weird. And, like, a lot of furries are like, you know what? Yeah, it is kind of weird. And it's just good to accept that it is weird. But, like, the thing is, it's just people, you know, spending the money how they want to spend their money. And just, like, kind of trying to enjoy life. You know what I mean? Like, imagine trying to do something like, what is it, like I guess now there's examples like video games. People saying, oh, video games are causing all this violence, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine just being absolutely destroyed for playing a video game. Like, oh, you play a video game? What are you, a crazy person? Like, you know, like what, are you gonna, like, kill somebody? It's like, no, obviously not.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that. It's just the, if people just understood that everyone's a person, one, and everyone's different, I would never, even though someone is with a group or a community, it doesn't mean they represent the community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The base ideal of the furry community is just people who have a like for anthropomorphic animals, whether it be saucy or not. And it's just an interest, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just a hobby.
Yeah, it's not something like that defines you as a person. It's just what you do in your for fun. I mean,
yeah. A lot of people do that. Spend money and just go.
So we're almost at the end of our time, and
okay.
Let's just give a an ending message. So for anybody who's just, you know, your perspective on life, what you want to do, how would you just sum up everything about you, and what message would you give to somebody? You know.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, it's a really heavy question.
It is, but I think it's good. One thing I want to say is listen to the podcast. I think my boy here has some really good ideas, and I think it's a really good idea to give different perspectives and introduce people to different ways of thinking, because I think it's a way that we can all become better people. If we all stay closed-minded and only think about our own stuff, how are we to grow and find out who we are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love this idea. It's so good. I love you. I just will say, I'm a weird guy, weird, wacky, zany me, and I think everybody should be their weird, wacky, zany as well. It makes the world a little more interesting and a little less cubicle gray.
All right, there you have it, folks. Thank you again, Quentin, for coming on. And I can't wait to probably have you on in the future again if we do like a second season.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And thank you guys all for listening today, and have a great one. Just a reminder that everything said on this podcast may or may not even be true. It could all be fake. It could all be satire. But what's important is that everything on here is more real than anything you'll see on TV or Netflix. I want to thank you guys so much for listening once again, and be sure to submit your own stories anonymously to CamdenPodcastingClub@gmail.com, where I will read them in bonus episodes. In addition, if you know anyone who would love to be on the podcast who has their own high school stories, again, email at the Camden Podcasting Club email.